Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, let's give Jesus another clap offering, a good one. Hallelujah. Last week, we stopped with the kingdom concept. So by the way, we are looking at the general topic, enter the kingdom. Enter the kingdom, that is our general topic. And last week we stopped with what we called the kingdom concept. And we looked at what a kingdom really is. So who can tell us the components of a kingdom?
King.
A king.
Subject.
A subject.
A priest.
And a priest. There is always a priest in a kingdom. The priest may not be a priest of the Most High God. He may be the priest of an idol. And I said that is the major difference between a kingdom and the concept of the republic. In the Federal Republic of Nigeria, government does not know any God. Everybody can have his own God. Do you follow my point? And we all looked at the definition of democracy. And democracy is what? The government of the people, by the people, for the people. That is no God. That is no God. And everything which comes by the philosophy of man must have a problem, a serious problem. And that is why in the vision that Nebuchadnezzar saw, in the book of Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar saw that the kingdoms of men will arise one after another until the Christ will come. A stone cut without hand will come and smite that image on its feet. And the whole thing will crumble into powder, and the wind will blow every worldly government away, and Christ will reign supreme. And that was revealed to a pagan. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some time ago, maybe the past few years, I used to tell people, in the United States, we cry democracy, 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 everywhere now. Democracy, democracy. You have to democratize. You have to do this. In fact, in the United States, they even use democracy in the church. I said, this is ridiculous. You have to vote on everything. Even those who don't pray will vote. Those who don't care will vote. Do you follow my point? So you don't run church by democracy. Everybody should be a partaker. But you run church by the leading of the Spirit of God. Where people just raise up their hands, every human being has something in his own flesh. Hallelujah.
Amen.
After the presidential elections of 2004 and Bush won, one pastor announced to his congregation, he was so happy that Bush had won. I said, the spiritual leaders who are political lose contact with the Spirit of God. They pay more attention to their political idols than they pay to the Holy Spirit. He announced in his church, everybody who did not vote for Bush will be excommunicated. I'm not kidding. It was on the news. It was on CNN. And some of the members who were not Republicans went to court. The Americans sue their pastors every day. They went to court. And of course, the church also met. Everybody who was of goodwill, and they said such a statement from the pastor was unacceptable, and he is the one that must go. So he has to go. Glory to God. You don't bring politics into the church. During the campaigns of 2004, I was teaching Bible studies in the church that we attend there during that period, and I was teaching on the end times, and I knew things that I could have said about Bush, but if I said that, I could have divided the church in two. So I deliberately did not say the things. At home, and when we were talking as friends, I'll tell them. But there are people in the church who are not mature enough to isolate spiritual things from political things. If I was teaching on the end time, that was a spiritual thing, not political. And if some projections reflect on somebody who is a politician, I expect that Christians should be mature enough to see. We're doing Bible study, and we're just looking at it. But some people there will not be able to see it. So I deliberately did not talk about that. And one of the things I told them was, when Bush is through with America, they will never forget him. Now they know they will never forget him. When Christians leaders were rallying Christians to go and vote for Bush, I said, these Christian leaders did not ask God. before the man ever was sworn in as president, after Supreme Court had said in 2000 that he was victorious. I was standing here teaching the GRA chapter on the end time. You follow my point? And I nearly said to them, I don't know what held me back. I nearly said, this man that will become president will be a difficult man. He will be somebody who would love to go to war. Even if you beg him, he will go. I nearly said those words, but I kept quiet. But then it happened, and I said, well, that's okay. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now they will never forget him. The economy has not been as bad. The man, he spent like a prodigal son. He spent their money like a prodigal son. He was paying American companies. He was giving them tax breaks to shift their businesses to India and China. The president of your country encourages companies in Nigeria to shift their businesses to a foreign country. Can you believe that? Glory to God. And my siblings keep saying, especially one of my brothers, two of them, they keep saying, Bros was saying this thing. He followed my point. That's running to me. I kept telling them, this man will finish this country. I kept telling them repeatedly. Some of my friends, they're businessmen. I kept telling them, this man is the devil's tool. This man will destroy the economy of this country. They are seeing it too late. Now Americans don't want. That is why a lot of them are rallying after Obama, if you have followed the campaigns. They see him as a young person different from all of those who have been there before. And they say, we want something different. I hope that God will give us something different.
Yeah.
By the time that Bush took office, Clinton, who was before him, had balanced the budget and had left a lot of money in surplus with government. As soon as he came in, my goodness, now America is in serious debt. America owes trillions of dollars, most of it to China. So nobody has confidence in the dollar. And I was hearing it this morning. The dollar has fallen again. A long time ago, I saw Revelation. My wife keeps saying it. And I shared it. It's probably in my diary. I saw myself in America. I saw people protesting. All a big city protesting and setting houses on fire. And then I saw people not wanting to handle the dollar. It's like the dollar was like ashes. Nobody wanted to hold the dollar. So when this thing started to happen, my wife kept saying, Osabel, you know, now people don't want to hold on to the dollar. I was hearing this morning, one broker in New York advertising, we buy gold. In other words, you will prefer to keep your money as gold now. Use your money to buy gold and keep it, rather than keep your money as dollar. May God help us.
Amen.
So, democracy doesn't know any particular God. And one of the things I have said, democracy will eventually bring down this world. And when it happened in a mini form, about 2 years ago, again, one of my siblings remembered, I said, bros, you used to say it. I said, yes, but this is a small one. You know what happened in Palestine? They held elections. You follow me? They held elections. America said, you must modernize. You must bring in democracy. So they held elections. And when they held the elections, the radicals won. Then America said, we will not give them money. I said, you said they must have democracy. Now you have to recognize the democratic government. Because democracy is not the government of the righteous. It is just the government of the majority. If the majority are the wicked people, they will win and they will rule. Do you follow me now?
Yes.
Okay. If they are the wicked people and they form the majority, then they are going to win. And then they have to rule. But in the kingdom concept, where there is a deity, there is a God over the kingdom. Whether the living God or an idol, the priest of the idol is telling the king what the stupid idol wants the king to do. Do you follow my point? And if it's the living God, then the priest of the Lord is telling the king, this is what God wants you to do. Praise the Lord.
We
stopped with the dynasty of Judah, how David became king. Amen. Okay. We established how David became king at the right time of life because of adultery committed by Judah. And we said that although Judah was blessed with rulership by Father Jacob, Father Israel, before he died, blessed Judah with rulership in Genesis 49, Judah could not produce a king for a long time. Because by God's law, a bastard cannot congregate with the people of God until the 10th generation. And Judah committed adultery with Tamar, his in-law, and it was in that lineage that the king will eventually come. So they had to wait for 10 generations. And I said, if you count from Phares, who was the son of Tamar, you count until David. David is in the 10th generation. That was the time that the curse passed away. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So what the people of God now had were the two clear lines of governance. The royalty producing the kings. The priesthood producing the priests. And we said that the priest knew the power of the king. The king knew the position of the priest. Each had to respect the position of the other. However, by God's command, through Moses, at the time that he was laying hands on Joshua, God said, the king must not take steps without seeking counsel from the priest. Because the priest is the one who will ask God and then tell the king. Okay, God says go, or God says don't go. The first king was Saul. And I said Saul was given to them for a brief period from the tribe of Benjamin. Because the people insisted on having a king before David was ready. Do you follow my point? So God gave them Saul for a brief period. And Saul turned out to be a terrible king. He had his own ideas. Samuel was there, a man of God, a thorough priest, but Saul would disobey. And I said, in the relationship, the king is the captain of the people. Do you follow me? The priest is not the captain of the people. Last week we said, it was clear when Moses was saying to God, when he was to die, appoint another captain over your people, so that your people are not like sheep without a shepherd. When he was saying that, we said, Eleazar the priest was already priest, which meant that the priest was not the captain. The overall leader was the captain and the shepherd. Eventually, that turned out to be the king. You follow my point? Okay. Now, whatever the priest tells the king will have to process it, agree or disagree. Good for him if he always agrees. Do you follow me now? Any king who was in good rapport with the priesthood always prospered. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Any king who disobeyed the priesthood always had problems. Because the priests were inquiring from the Lord, tell the king. If the priest says, God says, don't go to war. And the king says, sound the trumpet. Assemble the people. The trumpeter will sound the trumpet. You follow me? And the people will assemble. And he will lead them out to war to lose. Because God said, don't go. The priest cannot say, everybody disperse. Don't go. He can only tell the king. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He can only tell the king. He will go outside of his office to make the announcement to the people. Now, because of these two lines, there were conflicts of power. Shortly after the death of Solomon, his son, Rehoboam, became king. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, was in Egypt. He fled to Egypt because he had offended and Solomon had wanted to kill him. So he fled to Egypt. But after Solomon died, he returned. And shortly after he returned, God split the kingdom. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, became king over the 10 tribes. Rehoboam remained king over the 2 tribes. When Rehoboam assembled his army to go and fight to claim the other 10 tribes, God sent a prophet to him. Don't do it. This thing is of me. So he stopped. No sooner did Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, ascend the throne in Samaria than he became an idol worshiper. Why do people so readily forget about God? He worshipped an idol He worshipped Baal. And one day he was offering sacrifices at the altar of Baal, and one prophet came, and when the man of God came, the man of God sent a curse upon the altar cracked, and he said to the altar, "You altar, it will come a time when a son will be born, Josiah by name. He will slaughter the prophets of Baal, and he will burn their bodies on that altar." When Jeroboam saw him, Jeroboam was angry, and Jeroboam stretched his hand at him, "Arrest him!" The Bible said the hands that he stretched out dried up immediately. The Bible said when he saw it, he was afraid. So he pleaded, "Please, please pray God for me." So the man of God praised the Lord for him, and his hand was restored. Everybody with his own power. In the days of Saul, he had a problem with Samuel. Hallelujah. It came a day when God told Samuel, "Fill your horn of oil with oil. I'm sending you to the house of Jesse. You will go and anoint somebody to be king over my people." Samuel said, "Lord, there is a king on the throne. If he hears that I have gone to anoint somebody else, he will kill me." So the prophet respected the sword of the king. And God did not say, "Go to bed." You follow my point? See, God did not say he will dare not kill you. God knew that Saul had the sword. And like I said of people, when God places the sword in your hand, it is for you to use. Use it righteously or use it unrighteously. It is already in your hand. Do you follow me? The only thing is that in the end, you are accountable to God. So be careful. Don't be drunk with power. So God said, "Okay, I will teach you what to do so that he will not kill you. Don't say that you are going to anoint somebody to be king. Say you are going to offer a sacrifice." Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what you call the word of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2 says, "Wisdom proceeds from the mouth of God." So incline your ear. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Incline your ear so you can hear him. So he went there. When he got there, he offered a sacrifice so that he did not lie. You follow me now. He offered a sacrifice, and then he anointed David to be king. But there are more controversial ones. There is this king called Uzziah. He had been doing well, and then suddenly he got drunk with power. And when he got drunk with power, he went into the temple, and he took a censer, and he put incense in it, and he put fire, which was to be done by the priesthood, not by the king. You look at 2 Chronicles chapter 26, you can read that story there. 2 Chronicles 26. When the priest saw him, the priest said, "King Uzziah, this does not pertain unto your office. This is for the priest to do. Drop it now." He was angry at the priest, and as he reacted towards the priest, the Bible said, immediately he turned leprous. The Bible said he looked at himself. He saw that he was leprous, white like snow. He was afraid. He dropped the censer and he ran out of the temple. And he lived outside of the city limits for the rest of his life, a leper. So you see the governance of the people. You have the royalty. You have the priesthood. And there are these conflicts going on. All the time. There are many of them. Many of them. Ahab. Oh. Ahab and Micah. You follow me? He wanted to go to war. 400 prophets had prophesied. Go and prosper. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When Micah came, Micah joked with the prophecy. Micah said, "Oh yes, go and prosper. The king said, "Oh, come on, don't taunt me. Tell me the truth." Micah said, "Well, I saw your people all scattered. No more leader." He turned to his friend Jehoshaphat. He said, "Didn't I tell you that he never prophesied good concerning me?" He said, "Forget it. Hey, you, take this man. Go and lock him up. feed him with the bread of affliction and give him the water of affliction until I return in peace. He went and he never returned. So you see, prophets and kings, priests and kings, always conflict. Jeremiah, go and read the book of Jeremiah, plenty. They will take Jeremiah, throw him in the dungeon, inside mud. He will be sinking. So, look, again and again, because the priest is telling you the truth from God. But the king can be stubborn. He can be heady. He can want to do his own thing. Even though he is getting a message from God, he wants to do his own. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So what are we going to do to remove this conflict? If we have leaders who are at conflict again and again, it's not neat. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Perhaps the best thing to do is merge the two offices into one. Let the king also be the priest. Now, but if we do that, if the king happens to be a disobedient one, there isn't anybody who can walk into him and say, you are disobeying God. The priest is supposed to be the conscience of the king. Nobody will be able to check him. So we have a problem. God will get angry at us and he will destroy us. You remember when David took the wife of Uriah and sent Uriah to death? Nathan came in to him. Do you follow me? See, the priest or the prophet, those of the priesthood, serve as conscience. He came in to him. He told him a parable. And when David heard the parable, in his own kind of righteousness, that man must die. The prophet said, but you are the man. This is what God says. You were just a boy following the sheep of your father. I took you from following the sheep of your father. I made you king over Israel. What have I not given you? I even gave you the wives of your master. And if that was not enough, why didn't you ask me for such and such? Why have you done this thing? Then David said, I have sinned. Then Nathan said, God has forgiven you. Now, God has forgiven you only means that you will not go to hell because of this sin. Do you follow me now?
Yes.
Because after he said, God has also forgiven you, he said, however. Do you follow me now?
Yes.
However, because you have profaned the name of the Lord, the sword shall never depart from your house. He has been forgiven. Are you with me? He has been forgiven, which means you won't go to hell. But here on earth, the sword shall never depart from your house. And you did it in secret. I will have it done to you under the sun. The sword never departed from his house. Jesus took the last shot. And what he did in secret, his son Absalom did with his own wives under the sun, where everybody could see. Thank God for Jesus. No, Jesus could have allowed himself to be killed outside of the cross each time they wanted to kill him. But Jesus did not want to deliver us in part. If they had not killed him on the cross, if they had taken him, bound him, placed his head on a stone and cut off his head, he would still have shed his blood, have you? His blood would still be shed. Our sins would be washed away. So we will be forgiven. But the curse, do you get the two parts now? Okay, see, we will still be forgiven, but the curse will still remain. If the curse will be removed, then Jesus must ascend the cross to be made a curse. For cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So he had to be made a curse for us, so that if you have sinned and the sin has been removed, the curse is also removed. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the cause is also removed. So Jesus said, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Pata, pata. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, when David became king, we saw some things that were different. Because, let me ask one question. Was David a prophet?
Yes.
David was a prophet, wasn't he? David was a prophet. Go and read the Psalms. You can see all of the prophecies there. You can see all of the prophecies there. Plenty, plenty, plenty. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. That was a prophecy. You follow me? The many. He was a prophet. But he was a king. So in David, we started to see the thing that would be ideal. So because he was a king and he was a prophet, David knew the mind of God. God himself said of David, David walked before me in all his ways, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. God pointed one instance when David stumbled. He said, otherwise, he was neat. Glory to God. May God say a good thing about you. You know, sometimes David will want to go to war, like the Philistines. They come. And the Bible says, David inquired of the Lord. Do you follow me? Which normally he should have gone to the priest to inquire for him. But he will inquire by himself of the Lord. And the Lord will say, go. One time the Lord said, no, don't go yet. You follow my point? There was one time David was curious, wanted to know the mind of God. David, the king, told Abiathar, the priest. He said, give me the ephod. The linen ephod originally was used by the high priest only, eventually by the priest only, eventually by the Levites. Reserved for them. The linen ephod was for them, and they would put it on to inquire of the Lord. David did not say, Abiathar, inquire of the Lord for me, because that is what people would say. David said, Abiathar, give me the ephod. So Abiathar went, brought the ephod, gave to David. David put it on, and David went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord told him what he wanted. So he was functioning as king and functioning as prophet or priest. And they were different. When they were bringing the ark of the Lord, the Bible said, and David had on a linen ephod. Do you follow me? Okay. Which was not right for the king to just put on, just the priests. So we saw a glimpse of God's grand plan in David, that you can be a king and be a priest. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
But then I said, if the king was bad, we are in trouble. The one who will be king and priest at the same time must be somebody who cannot be corrupted. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because he's got too much power now. He must be somebody who is perfectly obedient to God. Somebody who cannot be corrupted. In that case, the nation will prosper. Because the nation will be led by God. Every action is dictated by the Holy Spirit. In all your ways, acknowledge me. And I will do what? And people, a chorus. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your paths. All your ways. So if we have that type of king, glory to God. Because God will lead us in all our ways. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I want somebody to open to the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, and verse 8.
Listen to me, O Joshua, the high priest, and all you other priests.
Listen to me, O Joshua, the high priest, and all you other priests.
You are symbols of things to come.
You are symbols of things to come.
Soon I am going to bring my servant.
Soon I am going to bring my servant.
The branch.
The branch. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He says, listen to me, Joshua. Listen to me, all of you priests. You are symbols of things to come. A symbol is not the real thing, have you? They were just shadows of something to come. So the priests, the high priest, Joshua, listen to me. All of you priests, listen to me. You are just symbols of things to come. I will soon bring my servant the branch. That must be the thing to come, right? I will soon bring my servant the branch. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Question. What is a branch? What is a branch? Part of a tree. What is a fruit?
Another part of that tree.
So what is a branch? So that we can tell one part from another part. What is a branch? What is a branch on the road? What, you see, whether it's a tree or a road, it's the same. What is a branch on the road? A diversion. Whether it's called a diversion, it may not be a diversion if there is no obstruction. The branch on the road is another road that goes in another direction from the one that you are traveling on. Okay, that's a branch. It is the same thing on a tree, isn't it? The branch of a tree is the part of the tree that goes in another direction from where the stem was going. That's a branch. Praise the Lord. So, he says, I will bring my servant, the branch. I will soon bring my servant, the branch. You are just symbols. The real thing is a branch. He branches away from what you represent, from what you are now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let us go to chapter 6 and somebody read from verse 11 through verse 13.
Take the silver and gold. And make a crown.
And make a crown.
And set it on the head of the high priest.
Set the crown on the head of the high priest.
Joshua.
Son of Jehozadak.
Tell him this is what the Lord Almighty says.
And tell him this is what the Lord Almighty says.
Here is the man. Whose name is the branch. And he will branch out from his place and build the temple of the Lord.
He will branch out. Do you see? Branch out of his place and build the temple of the Lord.
It is he who will build the temple of the Lord. And he will clothe with majesty and will sit and rule on the throne.
He will be clothed with majesty and sit and rule on
his throne. And he will be a priest.
And he will be a priest
on his throne.
Upon his throne. Glory to God. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you see where God is taking us. You see, if you are in your right mind, you are traveling, and you know where you are going. When you get to some place and you branch, where you branch to must take you to where you want to go. Otherwise, you are lost. So he told the priests, I will soon bring my servant the branch. Then in chapter 6, he used Joshua, the high priest, the son of Jehozadak, to illustrate what he was talking about. He says, let the high priest sit down. Get gold and silver. Make crowns and place on the high priest. High priests normally don't wear a crown. Hallelujah. The high priest normally would not put a crown on his head. That was for the king. He now says, there he is. He will branch off the usual pattern to build my temple. And he will sit in majesty upon his throne as king and will be a priest upon that throne. Perfect. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whom was he talking about?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ. But listen. He said, he referred to him, the man who is the branch. Amen.
Yes.
He is one man. He is the branch. You were not reading from King James.
No.
NIV. Somebody read King James. Yes. Just listen carefully.
11 of the 43.
Read the three. Listen then, carefully.
Then take silver and gold.
Take silver and gold.
And make crowns.
Make crowns.
And set them upon the head of Joshua.
Set them upon the head of Joshua, the high priest.
Joseph Tech.
Yes.
The high priest.
Yes.
And speak unto him.
Speak unto him.
Saying. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts.
Yes.
Saying.
Yes.
Behold, the man who
Behold.
Is the branch.
Behold, the man whose name is the branch. Yes.
And he shall grow up.
Yes.
Out of his place.
Yes.
And he shall build the temple of the Lord.
Yes.
Even he shall build the temple of the Lord.
Yes.
And he shall bear the glory.
He shall bear the glory.
And shall sit and rule upon his throne.
As the king.
And he shall be a priest upon his throne.
As a priest.
And the council of peace shall be between them both.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So he will be king, he will be priest, and they will no longer have conflict. The council of peace shall be between them both. No more conflict, unless the man wants to be at conflict with himself. But remember, he says he is a man. But then he says between them both. But he is only one man. Praise the Lord. Now, let us keep it at that for now. We will pick that up very soon. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Shall we stop there for today and then ask questions and discuss? Questions? Comment? Yes, sir.
So you are making reference to the point where you were talking about God as being Saul, God anointed David.
No, Samuel.
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 God is talking Samuel, God anointed David.
Yes.
And he said he used wisdom.
Yes.
And he says, you also talk of wisdom, talk of the prophecy.
Yeah.
What do you call wisdom? That was secular, what they call it, the prophecy.
No.
Oh,
well, that was the wisdom of God.
Okay.
The devil is wise. The Bible says of the devil, he is full of wisdom. The devil is wise. So it depends on where you're getting your wisdom from. Samuel got his wisdom from God. Okay? Yeah. That's not diplomatic wisdom. Diplomacy can be ridiculous. Okay. It is possible. It is possible. If somebody can be a king, okay, let me give you an example. You see, in the kingdom of darkness, remember I said some time ago, I said that before God brought about the kingdom concept among his people, in the kingdom of darkness, they have always had kingdoms. Although their gods were idols. Do you follow me? In the kingdom of darkness, they have been using the system consistently. But God brought us to it gradually. Okay, take Nigeria for example. The Sultan of Sokoto is a king, isn't he? But he's also the spiritual leader of the Muslims. And whatever he says, that's it. So in the kingdom of darkness, that may operate. But a lot of times they have priests. You follow my point? But the head, the Sultan is the head. Okay. Any other questions? Questions, comments? Yes, ma'am.
Integrated into branch.
Yes.
My next question is speaking capitally.
Yes.
We don't believe Christians are going to be branches yet, that Jesus is from the stem. Are we now being given
that he is a branch? Okay.
Vision of Jesus.
Okay. It depends on what you're doing. You see, Jesus cannot be described in one direction alone. When he is, we are told, He is the branch. Capital B-R-A-N-C-H. That is a branch that is bigger than the stem that it is branching from. Unusual. Are you with me? Now, he is the son of David, Abi.
Yes.
But David is the son of Jesse, Abi.
Yes.
But he is also described as the root of Jesse. How can you be the root of your great, 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 great grandfathers? See, you can't look at Jesus like anything ordinary. How can you be the root of your fathers? And now he is the root, he is the branch. Do you follow me? Okay. So that is just Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Any more questions? Let's give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.